Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And so many options for our woke update of the week. Man, we kind of started off the week with a woke update, but great to have David Noble back in the house with us. Thanks for covering down on the early morning hours of the show last Thursday and then the whole show Friday. I know our listeners always appreciate it when you're in here, David, so good to see you.
Oh, it was so fantastic. And one of my favorite potential woke updates for today was related to a story that you had actually started initially about. Remember how you did a story about how they were like not doing meat at the Olympics? And then recently, because of all of the Olympic athletes' complaints, they're having to ship in emergency shipments of steaks and eggs to the Olympic Village or whatever in Paris because the athletes are so upset and it's not, they're like, no, we want steak, we want eggs, and so they're flying in steak and eggs to the Olympics now.
It's funny. I was thinking of saving that story for the 9 o'clock hour of the program.
Oh shoot, I'm sorry.
That's okay because you know not everybody can stick around for the whole show. A lot of people are driving to work right now. So and. You know, for Billings, Bozeman, and Butte, this would be our highest concentration of listeners is here in this 7 o'clock hour of the show. But, yeah, back on July 24th, I did a story, Olympics bound, better pack your Montana beef snacks, and Tristan Justice with the Federalist.com. Olympic teams at the Summer Games in Paris are ordering in emergency supplies of meat and eggs after event organizers promoted a vegan diet for the world's elite athletes.
Classic. Yeah, and of course, we got more woke stories from the Olympics. But, of course, I'm boycotting the Olympics after that disgusting opening ceremony, but still following the news about it.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah, I haven't been following it that closely. I mean, yeah, I don't like to just sit and watch TV that much anyway. So I've enjoyed catching some of the highlights, you know, like the men's gymnastics from the USA. That was really cool seeing those clips. Catherine Burkhoff, a swimmer from Missoula, got a bronze medal, I believe. Yeah, you know, that's cool to see. But, yeah, the woke Olympics. Here's another woke update for you from the DailyCaller.com. Video shows pro-Palestinian activists saying, doing the Heil Hitler at the Olympic soccer match. I mean, it's wow. Just straight up evil on display from the opening ceremony antics to pro-Palestinian activists doing the Heil Hitler. Man,
it's just so in your face too and just so open about it. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Well, and especially when you look back at World War II, some of these Middle Eastern countries officially did ally with Hitler. Right.
Right.
Some of them out of their hatred for the Jews. But, you know, it's one thing when that type of hate happens in other countries. But for that to happen in America and what really is now the base of the Democrat Party, you know, burning the American flag, raising a Hamas flag, just sickening.
Oh, I know. You've got the radical left who won't even allow Kamala Harris to pick maybe her best potential choice, Governor Shapiro out of Pennsylvania, because he's Jewish. And you've got such an anti-Jewish hatred amongst Democrat that they're worried about Shapiro.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Charles and Billings on the phone lines. We'll get to your phone call after this. David Noble with us for the full hour.
Military matters.
A new 114-page bipartisan report ordered by Congress finds the U.S. is not prepared for the most serious and most challenging threat since World War II. The Commission on National Defense Strategy concludes there is a real risk, even likelihood, of a near-term global war, and the U.S. is not prepared. Former Democratic Congresswoman Jane Harman chaired the commission.
We found that the joint force is at the breaking point of maintaining readiness today. Adding more burden without adding resources to rebuild readiness will cause it to break.
Recent recruitment shortfalls have decreased the size of the Army, Air Force, and Navy. The U.S. Defense Industrial Base is unable to meet the equipment, technology, and munitions needs of the U.S. and allies. Eric Edelman, the report's co-chair, calls for much higher spending on defense as a proportion of GDP, 5 to 6%, as opposed to the current 3% spent by the United States. Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperatures will range from around 92 in Bozeman to the upper 90s to around 100 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, lows in the upper 50s in Bozeman, mid-60s in Billings. And the outlook for Friday calls for sunshine, mid-90s in Bozeman, 103 in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, don't you worry, Mark. Mark and Roberts just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. We were almost going to start the hour with that story. David Noble, I hadn't even seen nor heard of this one yet, but of course, David Noble is tracking this one. Anyway, Mark and Roberts says, look up the Olympic female versus she-male boxer. Oh, man, wait till you guys hear about this one. If you haven't been following the Olympics, wait till you hear this story. David will tell us about it here in just a second. But let's start with a caller. We've got Charles in Billings on the phone lines. Charles, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, just a quick information for you. I'm sure everybody remembers John Wayne, the famous actor.
Yeah.
About 60 years ago, he wrote a piece called The Hyphenated Word. It's a wonderful piece on what was going to destroy America. So you guys that have all these fancy phones and all this internet, John Wayne, The Hyphenated Word.
Yeah. No, I know exactly where you're going with that. I wonder if Google would even let us find that if we put it into a Google search. I mean, if they would even let, even if we've got all these fancy phones and AI technology, they use that to try to bury some of the most important information and stories. But no, thanks for that, Charles. That's great. David Noble, obviously, he's referring to kind of our 6 o'clock hour conversations about the National Association of Black Journalists convention that President Trump showed up for yesterday and Kamala wouldn't even show up for.
So Ben Shapiro does a Sunday special. He doesn't do it every Sunday. I don't know why he calls it as his Sunday special, but it's usually puts it out on Sundays, and it's sort of a long form interview that he really, really good stuff. His most recent one was with Victor Davis Hanson.
Oh, he's the man.
Highly recommend that.
VDH.
Yeah, get on YouTube and find Ben Shapiro's Sunday special from this last weekend, or maybe it was 2 weekends ago, with Victor Davis Hanson. But something that Victor Davis Hanson said during that interview with Ben Shapiro really stuck with me and is related to kind of what that caller just said, which is that traditionally immigration works when you have assimilation and integration. And for there to be assimilation and integration, your immigration levels have to be in small numbers. You have to have small numbers of immigrants. And if you have small numbers of immigrants, then you get that assimilation and integration that a society needs. He says historically, go back thousands of years, all the way back into antiquity, there really isn't a society that survived, you know, a large number of immigrants coming into the society, because, again, assimilation and integration only work with small numbers of immigrants. And so, yeah, when you have massive numbers of immigrants coming in, you're not getting that assimilation and integration that makes a society healthy with levels of immigration that are small. You start seeing the hyphenated names.
Yep.
And the lack of integration, and you start to see like little enclaves developing, a lack of a coherent sort of identity as Americans. We have less in common, and you start to see problems. And
yeah.
So that's why I think, frankly, we can all talk about how bad illegal immigration is, and how, you know, but I think we ought to be talking about How about the legal immigration? Because we're bringing in over a million legally every year. And we have been for decades and decades. A million plus every year legally.
Yeah.
Not counting the illegals. Well,
and there, and yeah, you're right. And our previous caller's right. There's an unhealthy level of racial and ethnic identity where that becomes a sole focus, where we're all Americans. Out of many come one, not out of one come many. It was so great last week. You know, it's great. You know, like if you're in Butte, be proud of your Irish heritage. If you're on the High Line, be proud of your Norwegian heritage, right? You know, if you're in Glasgow, you might be talking about being a, you know, Norwegian background. And then if you're a few miles away at Leicester, it might be your German background. Like, yeah, be proud of your heritage and your background. But there's an unhealthy level of this where it's dividing people along every racial, ethnic, and now gender lines you can think of. It was so great. Like last week, you were covering down from 6 to 8 while I was doing the show from Kalispell from 8 to 10. And my dad actually brought an old high school buddy of his over for this show, and I'm so glad he did. A great Cuban-American Whitefish coach, Julio Delgado, a retired coach and teacher from Whitefish. Now, we describe him as a Cuban-American because it tells you, you know, his family's background, where he came from, and it lets you know why he values freedom so much and why he loves America so much. But I also love the fact that he said, Aaron, I'm going to correct you. I'm an American Cuban, not a Cuban American, because he was making the point that I'm an American first and foremost, and it was so great, and he had such a great message.
That's a fantastic way to look at things, and I was so impressed with that, and it's fantastic. It's like not even American Cuban, an American with Cuban heritage, an
exactly.
American with Cuban background, an American with Cuban ancestors, something like that. You know, as opposed to this, you know, oh, I'm a Cuban American, I'm this, I'm that first. You know, it's like, yeah, that stuff is gotten a little bit out of control.
It was off air, I think, but somebody asked him, oh, do you like Cuban cigars? He says, I won't send a dime to those commie bastards. Something about that.
I lived in Miami for 3 years.
Yeah.
When I lived in Miami for 3 years, of course, had a lot of friends that were Cubans and had Cuban ancestors, and actually lived with one of my roommates. One of my roommates during law school was a lady who was from a family who had come from Cuba, and she would tell me stuff about what her, you know, oh, my mom and dad told me just today, you know, be very careful listening to Barack Obama, because that's exactly what the communists said, that's exactly what Fidel Castro said.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that came from Cuba and fled communism, they understand our freedoms and our Constitution oftentimes a lot better than some Americans.
And look at what's happening to our country right now. They were right to warn us about Barack Hussein Obama.
Yep.
All right, we'll talk about the she-male boxer story from the Olympics after this.
Democracy 2024.
Former President Trump responding to presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris, saying she'd proudly put her record against his.
Well, Kamala, let's go. Challenge accepted. Are you ready? Let's compare our record. 45%.
Telling a Harrisburg crowd,
she is the most extreme liberal candidate in the history of our country by far.
Slamming the Biden administration's border policies.
She inherited the strongest border in U.S. history and immediately turned it into the worst border nightmare in the history of the world.
Taking aim at Harris's push for stricter gun control measures and green energy policies, vowing to protect the Second Amendment and to better secure the border.
Nothing will stop us on our mission to make America great again. Nothing's going to stop us.
Reflecting on being back in Pennsylvania since being shot. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA says food inflation is easing, but not so for farm costs. Consumers may be getting a bit of a break from grocery price inflation, which topped 11% in 2022. USDA economist Megan Schweitzer.
So for food at home or grocery prices, last year we saw prices increase by 5% in 2023. This year in 2024, we're forecasting those grocery prices to increase by 1%.
And USDA's grocery price forecast for next year looks even better.
So in 2025, food at home or grocery prices are predicted to increase by 0.7%. Food away from home prices are predicted to increase by 3%, and prices for all food, both food at home and food away from home, are predicted to increase by 2% in 2025.
Meantime, input costs for farmers remain elevated. USDA forecasts are only slightly lower than the record high reached in 2022. Only fertilizer and chemical prices were expected to ease from last year. But since 2020, total costs paid by farmers to raise crops and care for livestock increased by more than $100 billion, or 28%, to an all-time high of $460 billion in 2023. This year, USDA is also forecasting a 27% drop, or $43 billion, in net farm income. I'm Lee Northlund.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'm still laughing about this story about the Olympics. The Olympians had to fly in emergency eggs and meat to cope with the vegan Olympics. From Tristan Justice's report at thefederalist.com, the Australian reported that more than 700 kilograms of eggs and a ton of extra meat was called in, quote, to replace fake meat meals and non-dairy options. The food orders were placed, quote, as athletes rail against the vegan Olympics. Oh, man, the wokeness, the woke virus is just all over the place. But speaking of woke Olympics, so, yeah, I haven't been paying close attention to the Olympics at all this year, but they're actually allowing men who identify as women to compete in women's sports now, huh?
I guess so. I thought there had been like a news story a couple of months ago saying that they weren't going to allow men to compete in women's sports in the Olympics, but I guess they are. Here's the Outkick.com headline. Olympic boxer pretending to be a woman pummels opponent in 46 seconds, makes her cry. And this is an Algerian man, Imane Khalif, the Olympic boxer, who was caught last year pretending to be a woman after a series of DNA tests showed that he had XY chromosomes. He tested positive for XY chromosomes and said, hey. And so apparently he had been unable to compete in some boxing events last year, but nope, they're allowing him to compete here in the Olympics, and he punched this lady in the face like twice, knocked her chin strap off. She had to basically resign the fight, started crying in the corner and stuff. It's pretty sad.
But J.D. Vance is weird.
Right, yeah, J.D. Vance is a weird one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're the weird people. We're the weird ones because we don't think that men should be punching women in the face. But Democrats like John Tester, who support, you know, this, who support men in girls' bathrooms and girls' locker rooms, man, they're not weird, according to CNN and MSNBC and the other, you know, echo chamber right. Media outlets out there.
Yeah, and it's not weird at all to have an opening ceremony where you directly mock Christianity and you replace the Last Supper with a bunch of transgender individuals and a gay smurf, you know, talking about being how cool it is to be naked all the time. No, that's not weird. No, not weird at all.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, if flooding the country with illegal aliens so they can rape and murder American women and citizens. And then when they commit other crimes, you just put them back out on the streets. And no, nothing weird about that at all.
Did you see that meme going around on X.com? And it's a picture of Pete Buttigieg, and he's got like some kind of fake like breastfeeding device.
Oh, I did see that. Oh,
and,
man.
And it says J.D. Vance is weird, and then it's got Pete Buttigieg holding a baby up to some kind of like fake like breastfeeding device.
The orphan baby with the
the baby that he purchased.
Now, was that real that he actually was wearing the chest?
I mean,
it wouldn't. They think that that's okay. I mean, they think men can get pregnant. They think men can chest feed babies. Oh, but no, J.D. Right. Vance is weird, according to them.
Right. Yeah. And then people always seem to point out online about how when the Pete Buttigieg types out there are purchasing these little babies, it's always little boys that they seem to want to have. It's Something that I've seen pointed out quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Hey, so our producer, Travis, found John Wayne's The Hyphen, and it's actually audio. It is in YouTube. I wonder if we'd probably have to get – I wonder who we would get permission from to use that on the airwaves or
– Well, it depends if it's only 15 seconds or 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I could use a short portion of it, but I wonder – it'd be nice to use the whole 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Maybe I can see if I can rack that up for next Thursday. I'll see who we can find permission from because, yeah, that'd be cool to share some old John Wayne audio on the show here. No, but John Wayne's weird. Right, according he'd be really weird to these guys.
The reality is that now if you have a traditional family and you go to church every Sunday and you believe in God and you eat around the family dinner table at night and you say a prayer before the evening dinner with the family, you are weird. Actually, that is actually weird now.
Especially to the to the woke CNN MSNBC crowd. You know, if you go hunting, you go fishing. You shoot guns and your kids shoot guns with you. Yeah, it's really weird to a lot of the mainstream media folks. And, it's we've talked before. I forget, was it Danny Reber who made this point that even more so than a left-right divide in America, you get this urban-rural divide in America. To where, those of us out here in Montana have more in common with folks, across the spectrum than we do, say, with somebody in, New York City or Washington, D.C. or something to that effect. All right. Lots to talk about here with David Noble. Taking your phone calls as well. 406-294-0970. What do you want to talk about? David, we'll get to you first in 60 seconds after this Fox News update.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lillian Wu. It could be the biggest U.S.-Russia prisoner swap since the Cold War.
Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich and former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan are understood to have been released by Russia. Both were convicted of espionage charges they and the U.S. government strongly denied. Now a large-scale prisoner swap is underway. Details are scarce and neither government is commenting on the record. But negotiations on this deal have been going on for some time.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. And the number of Americans applying for a first-time jobless help rose to the highest level in nearly a year. It was 249,000. But details of the report show they may not be that alarming. It's part of the increase tied to an annual auto plant shutdown.
A dong. See, we needed, David, we needed our own dong yesterday afternoon. I broke the story on our Montana Talks website, shared it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, things like that. We had the exclusive, broke the exclusive breaking news yesterday around 1 o'clock. I can't remember what time in the afternoon it was. President Donald J. Trump is coming to Montana. There will be a Trump rally in Bozeman a week from tomorrow. I know, man, people are very pumped up because everybody's wondering, man, will Trump come back to Montana? Will there be a Trump rally in Montana? Yes, there will. We broke the story at MontanaTalks.com yesterday first.
That's awesome. We've been talking about that for months and months, speculating about it. Of course, the presidential election is going to come down to Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. But the control of the U.S. Senate is going to come down to Montana. It just shows you how important this race is.
Well, that's right. Because, I mean, in all reality, a presidential candidate should not be coming to Montana in August before a major presidential race that could be that close. Montana, look, is going to be hands down for Donald Trump. He was up on Biden by 20 points. Kamala is probably polling even worse than Biden is with Montanans. Because she's so anti, fracking, and she's just really crazy. I mean, Biden's policies have been crazy, but she's even crazier than the crazy stuff we've seen in the last 3 years. And so, but he shouldn't be coming here, but he is because A, he loves Montana, but B, he knows that if he gets back in the White House, if he doesn't have a Republican-controlled Senate, we are not going to be able to save this country unless we have a Republican-controlled Senate in House to go with him.
Yeah, hey, not saying anything negative about those Western Pennsylvania folks, but I wonder how a crowd of Montana Trump supporters would react if somebody tried getting within shooting distance of Donald Trump with a weapon.
We'd be climbing on top of that.
Well, what would happen after he takes a shot.
Who knows? There were people commenting on X. They were saying, oh, Trump will have plenty of security with his fellow Montanans being here right. in the House.
Right.
Here's Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate, because this is going to be a rally not only for President Trump, but a rally for Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy as well. Here's what Tim Sheehy shared via X yesterday.
And we're so happy to welcome President Trump back to Montana once again. He's here to campaign alongside us. We're grateful for that because he knows how important it is we flip this seat so we can put the America First agenda back in the fast track, get this country fixed, and save America. Welcome President Trump back. Tim for MT.com.
All right. There you go. MontanaTalks.com. For the details, at least the latest details that we have thus far, I know people are like, hey, how do we get tickets? Where's it going to be? What I wonder is, will it be at Bobcat Stadium? I know they're trying to discourage outdoor venues, but most likely I would assume it would be at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse.
Why not? Why wouldn't it be at the airport again?
Yeah, or out at the Yellow Barn, Big Yellow Barn. They did one out there, but man, they would pack the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. It'd be nice if they could do outdoors the stadium. Bozeman first, Butte next, big environmental ban on the horizon. That was the headline that I mentioned at the top of the 9 o'clock hour on Wednesday's Montana Talks. And, man, we got a bunch of very interesting phone calls about that topic. If you want to see the story, find out what they're doing to try to ban plastic grocery bags and more. I've got the full story on our Montana Talks website, thanks to Devin Brosnan out of Butte. That and much more, MontanaTalks.com.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in another caller here, 406-294-0970. We got Dwayne in Polson as David Noble joins us in studio this morning as well. Dwayne, what's going on?
Morning, gentlemen. I'm going to make this quick. They're talking about these Olympics, how they're more enlightened or inclusive there. But to me, it seems like they're more, well, just the opposite there. If I didn't know better, we should be calling this the vegan misogynist Olympics myself. Don't get me wrong, Ken and Great Falls. I've got plenty of friends in the LGBTQ MNOP community there, but this is getting ridiculous.
Well, even folks that are in the LGBTQ MNOP community, as you point out, Dwayne, some of them are even condemning it. Gays Against Groomers talked about how bigoted it was to mock Christians like this. Who's the fitness guru gal? Jillian Michaels, is that her name? Michelle Polino had a report yesterday where she was talking about how bigoted this was of the Olympics to pull this type of a stunt. The vegan Olympics where men get to punch women. That's woke, huh? Man.
Yeah. The religious bigotry on the left truly is out of control. And they're open about it, too. They'll admit to you, yeah, we hate Christians, or yeah, we think all Christians are stupid. I mean, they'll say stuff like that, too. I mean, I debate these leftists online on Twitch all the time, and they'll be open about that. They'll say, yeah, we hate Christians. We think and they don't realize that they're actually admitting that they themselves are bigots. They're prejudicial bigots by saying that. But they'll proudly admit to it.
Oh, well, you see it on Twitter, on the Montana Politics hashtag on X. You see it all day long from some in the media that are commenting there. In Montana, the Montana Democrats, there's just the anti-Christian bigotry is just dripping. I mean, especially from the Zoe Zephyrs of the world. I mean, they just have a hatred for people who see the world differently than they do.
And what they don't realize, what the hilarious thing is by their persecution of Christians, they don't actually realize this, but they're actually fulfilling biblical prophecy, and they're actually strengthening my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, and I kept seeing these virtue signaling Christians on Facebook who were basically attacking other Christians who spoke out against the evil that was on display at the opening ceremony. And they said, oh, I'm seeing all these hateful responses. What hateful responses? Condemning evil right. and condemning the right. mocking of Christianity. That's not like calling evil evil is actually what you're supposed to do. But there was no hate. There was no hate in response to that. If they mocked Muslims in the way Christians were mocked, like Christians weren't burning down Paris as a result. Right. They were speaking out and saying what a mockery this was and how hateful that was.
Right. Anybody remember Charlie Hebdo?
Cartoonist, right?
Yeah, a French cartoon magazine that printed a depiction of Muhammad, and it resulted in a bunch of people getting their heads cut off by terrorists in the streets.
Yeah.
That's what hateful people do when you mock their religion. They cut your head off and they engage in terrorist attacks and they slit your throats in the streets. That's not what happened here with the Christians that were upset about this.
Yeah, don't tell that, though, to Zoe Zephyr and the Gays for Gaza group in Missoula. Geez. You know? All right, one other story I want to get to real quick and then we'll get into the callers. This one is very interesting. So, John Tester, the fake, phony moderate. This guy is such a phony. So, some of you may remember this. Remember back in 2018, Pearl Jam, these left-wing, hateful band members from Pearl Jam, they always do a fundraiser concert for John Tester every election. And so they do this big concert in Missoula. Remember the poster? So John Tester was on CNN, or was it MSNBC, talking about punching Donald Trump in the face. And then it was a reminder, this assassination attempt on President Trump was a reminder of the violent rhetoric these guys always use. Back in 2018, John Tester, Pearl Jam, put this poster together to promote their concert in Missoula, and the poster featured a dead Donald Trump, and it featured the White House burning and on fire. Now, publicly at the time, John Tester condemned the rhetoric that was used in that poster. But in his book, the Washington Examiner has this story out today. In his 2020 book, John Tester admits that he secretly really liked the dead Trump Pearl Jam poster. The guy is just such a straight-up phony.
Amazing that he would write that in his own book. He would expose himself as a phony liar in his own book. Amazing. And he obviously figured there'd be no backlash or nobody would ever bring this up because he's got the media on his side. Well, luckily, we've got the Washington Examiner putting the time and effort in to figure this stuff out.
And then he was bragging about how his fans went wild for these posters, that they actually cared more about getting the dead Trump posters than they did about hearing the Pearl Jam music. Despite the Tester campaign condemning the anti-Trump art in 2018, in his 2020 book, Tester revealed that he, quote, actually loved the Pearl Jam poster. See, publicly, John Tester will say that he wants to secure the border, that he supports veterans, that this or that. But then privately, he undermines veterans, health care. Privately, well, actually, even publicly, I mean, he's against border security, but he's never held accountable. It's just a big reminder. The guy is a straight-up phony and fraud. As a friend in the Flathead told me last week, John Tester is 350 pounds of bull. Adam Schiff, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to Mike in Big Timber. Mike, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. Did the presidential candidate, Harris, did she go to the same flip-flop school that John Tester did?
She is. Yeah, she's like reversing her record on everything now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm thinking, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Tester recommend her into the Senate or endorse her for the Senate or push her into the Senate?
He recruited her. He said, we got to go get this gal Kamala out of California. We got to bring her to Washington. She needs to be a prominent figure on the national stage. John Tester, as Laura Loomer told us the other day, recruited her to run for the United States Senate.
And obviously, they went. He put her in the same kind of flip flop classroom that he's from. So okay.
Instead of the school of hard knocks, it's the school of flip flops.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, Mike, great to hear from you. Yeah, instead of the school of hard knocks, it's the school of flip-flops. But see, they get to get away with this phoniness. They get away with flip-flopping because their buddies in the media allow them to get away with it.
Well, not only – yeah, and perfect example. So yesterday Donald Trump had raised this issue about how, well, it's weird that everybody's so, you know, celebrating Kamala Harris being the first, you know, woman black presidential candidate for Nate. And meanwhile, like, she was bragging about how she was actually the first Indian American senator and attorney general for California. And
then, said nothing about being black.
And then AP puts out this story that Trump falsely suggests that Kamala Harris used to celebrate her Indian heritage or something like that. And then it's actually like, well, actually, here's the videos from Kamala Harris when she was attorney general, when she was U.S. senator, all bragging about. And so the media coverage for this stuff and the gaslighting, and you see the video and it's like, hold on. I've actually been paying attention to the news for the past couple of decades, and I remember specifically, I have personal memories of Kamala Harris celebrating her Indian heritage and all of that stuff. So what are you talking about, AP? You're sitting here telling me that this was wrong, that Trump said, but I know for a fact that it's true. You start to question your own sanity. The media coverage for it is just out of control, and she's just let me just say one more thing here, Aaron. Okay, I always say that this is the one good thing is that Democrats like Tester and Kamala, they have to pretend to be conservative. They have to pretend to not be communist. John Tester and Kamala Harris, they want to ban all fossil fuels. They're socialists, they're communists, they're Marxists. They want to massively increase taxes on us. They want government free everything, government paid for by us, all of that stuff. But then when they run for office, they pretend to agree with me and you on strict constitutional, low taxes, low, you know, strict border control. And so the day that Tester and Kamala Harris can run for public office and not have to lie to us and not have to pretend to be somebody they're not, that's when we're in danger. But the fact that they still have to pretend to be conservatives to win elections is a good sign. It means the voters are still not willing to vote for Tester and Kamala Harris if they were honest about who they were.
That's right. That's why they call him Two-Faced Tester. And the Pearl Jam poster is a perfect example of that. By the way, who first came up with the term Two-Faced Tester? Bobby and Helena messaged us, said, that was me. Give credit where... Okay, well, sorry, Bobby. I don't know who first came up. Now, Tayron John, Paul Mushaven, first came up with Tayron John.
Boy, that one's
showing,
that one's showing its prescience.
Spot on. 12 years later. Yeah.
The IKEA Business Network is now open for small businesses and entrepreneurs. Join for free today to get access to interior design services to help you make the most of your workspace, employee well-being benefits to help you and your people grow, and amazing discounts on travel, insurance, and IKEA purchases, deliveries, and more. Take your small business to the next level when you sign up for the IKEA Business Network for free today by searching IKEA Business Network.
Fox News commentary.
A growing number of Americans are homeless due to high rent and the cost of housing. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week with the smartest thinkers out there about the issues Americans face and where we're going as a nation. This show will feature deep dive interviews with newsmakers and some of your favorite Fox News analysts. I hope you'll join me as we dive into the fray. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
The latest report from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development shows a shocking reality. Over 650,000 people experienced homelessness on a single night in 2023. That's a 12% jump from 2022 and the highest number since this particular survey started in 2007. And what's even worse is that a growing number of these folks experiencing homelessness have jobs but still can't afford rent or housing. Even with employment, a rising number of Americans just cannot make ends meet and struggle to pay a landlord first and last month's rent plus a security deposit, at least not in addition to everyday living expenses. And get this, the National Low Income Housing Coalition found a $20 per hour wage could only afford a two-bedroom apartment in six states, even if those states had a $15 minimum wage. And keep in mind, your tax dollars are going to feed and house illegal immigrants. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economics, I once learned, is the study of scarcity, or more accurately, the study of how to allocate resources that are scarce. The notion that capacity, money, and time are all finite is deeply embedded in the way we think. That lesson applies to what happens in Washington, D.C. just as much as any place else, although many who live and work there may not always recognize it. Consider the desire of many leaders to hasten the adoption of green energy to try to address climate change. Many simply want to plunge ahead with spending on everything, from encouraging weatherization of homes, to banning gas stoves, to closing coal-fired electric plants to pursue this aim. But even the spending power of the federal government is finite, and the strategy of just spending until we can't anymore is far from optimal. And some actions, such as subsidizing electric vehicles, consume billions of dollars yet have little impact on emissions. It would be better to prioritize spending on those actions that produce the biggest bang. Yes, I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the Truth and Justice Fund, paid for and is responsible for the content of this ad. Truthandjusticefund.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Isn't it just funny, David? They think we're hillbillies. Now, no offense to J.D. Vance and hillbillies. You know, we have a lot in common with our friends in, you know, Appalachia, you know, coal mining states and hardworking blue-collar folks. So, but what you listen to these stupid tester campaign commercials, do they really think that's how people in Montana talk? Like, nobody in Montana even talks like that. Well,
the old prospector ads.
Here they go.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody from West Virginia on that ad. I'm like, it just goes to show you how far disconnected John Tester has come in the 20 years since he's lived in Montana. It's been almost 20 years since Tester.
Since he's lived in D.C., yeah.
Yeah. 20 years, yeah, he hasn't lived in Montana for 20 years. He's been a D.C. guy for 20 years, and so now he thinks that that's how we are. Not only with that type of a weird accent, that hillbilly accent that I've never heard anybody in Montana use, but then the filthy clothing, too, all the stained clothes and all the stuff. But I'm thinking all of my farmer and rancher clients and all the different farms and ranches I've been to over the years visiting clients. And, you know, they're always wearing nice, clean clothes. Even when they're out there working the ground or working on the cows, they've all got nice, clean clothes on. I'm like, here's the other thing that I've been doing. So when I go and I get a haircut now, I always ask the barber, hey, how long you been cutting hair in Montana? Oh, 20 years. How many times has somebody asked you for a flat top? Never happened. Start asking. If you're a man out there, start asking your barber, how many times have you had a Montana? So nobody here has a flat top. There's no Montanas with the flat top. None of the farmers and ranchers
Tester
are wearing.
Tester and Rosendale are like the two, I think, with flat tops.
All right, but what do these politicians really think? We're all out here with West Virginia hillbilly accents, you know, wearing filthy, disgusting, like soiled clothing and with a flat top. It's like, what planet are these?
His videos, he's so desperate to not look like the D.C. insider that he is now, sipping his vodka cranberries at the bistro, cacao, that he wears the it looks like the Tester Chainsaw Massacre. It's like, dude, you are trying way too hard right now, and it makes people question you even more.
Well, when he's wearing a suit and a tie, his white button up shirt looks like it's about the size of a
China spy balloon.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at that thing, you're like, how much material did they have to use to create that shirt?
That is not climate friendly. That's all I can say. All right, let's sneak in. Gary in Billings, you got something for us real quick before we run out of time.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, David. Thinking about this upcoming election, you guys should be aware that all these illegal immigrants are going to show up to vote. I don't believe that's going to be the case because most of them don't want to be bound, and the ones that want to vote don't know how to speak our English language. So it's going to be a total chaos for these people. That myself was a chief election judge for a lot of years. Even then, it was a kind of a chaos. So,
well, that's all the more reason why we should actually verify citizenship before people vote in elections. A lot of people are like, wait, we don't do that? We don't do that already? It's crazy, isn't it, David?
It is crazy, and I think that's good call, great point. It he's right. It is going to happen. I think one thing we can do to, you know, fight against it, at least under Montana law, individuals, all citizens, have the right to challenge a voter. I mean, so if you're If you're there watching the counting or you're watching the voting, you can challenge these voters as being eligible voters, which can trigger a further investigation into it. But in places like California and stuff like that, where there aren't any consequences for this happening, and they've been registering illegal aliens to vote for a long time and allowing them to vote for a long time, I don't think you're gonna see any reluctance to vote on the part of illegals that have been voting for a long time.
Tim and Savage was surprised that John Tester wrote a book. What would John Tester write a book about? Zero accomplishments other than basically how to become a millionaire as a United States senator. That sure worked out well for him. You know, how to fleece the American taxpayer and get rich in the process, basically. That'd be a John Tester.
But he's always tweeting out about how senators shouldn't trade stocks. Sure, Tester.
Oh, two-faced Tester. Yeah, this was a crazy story. You heard me right on Wednesday's Montana Talks. Windmills are 4,000 times more dangerous to the environment than plastic straws. I was talking about how this group in Bozeman wants to ban plastic grocery bags. Windmills, 4,000 times more dangerous than plastic straws. That was from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. We had that on Wednesday's Montana Talks. What are we going to talk about Thursday? You tell us.